Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jack the Jobber, B.A. I'm joined by Ross Tweddle, B.A.
B.O. Smelly man.
And Andrew Hodkinson.
BA as well.
Pleased to be here.
Ah, yes.
Oh, God, it's time for 9 wonderful pitches for Survivor Series War Games, which is on Saturday, of course. Are we excited for the show?
Yeah, I am. I'm looking forward to it.
Don't
I
sound like it.
No, sorry. I always like the War Games matches. I think last year's Survivor Series was only like 3 hours long as well.
Oh, was it?
It can't go wrong with a 3-hour pay-per-view.
I would love it.
Whereas we're sat here, there's 5 matches on the card, 2 of which are War Games, which will be an hour each, you would assume.
Yeah.
Be a nice card.
Yeah.
I like the Randy Orton pick as well. Mm. Can go in many ways, can't it, lad?
It sure can.
Many ways.
It was subtle. I don't know if it's actually going to be right now. He's an apex predator.
Manu! Yes.
If you've never seen this series before, we've all come to the table with 3 pitches each. We're going to go around it circularly. Ross, then Andrew, then myself. 3 times and we'll be left with 9 wonderful pitches for Survivor Series War Games 2023. But it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Oh, go on then, Ross.
The men's Survivor Series match is happening at this point, and because we normally get the entrances first, I've butchered the first line of my thing. Now I was trying to do a funny thing where I was like, the men's Survivor Series match now, and we're getting to the entrances because normally that's the first thing that happens as part of a match, isn't it? Ross. I'm focusing on the babyface team here because that's what my pitch is about. Of course, because he's going to be at the front of the army squad of army men coming out in their cute little army outfits, Cody Rhodes decides that he's the first inside the War Games cage, meaning that Rollins, Sammy, Jay, and an apex predator are in the holding cage at the top of the ramp since Jay lost the advantage match on Monday Night Raw. It all makes sense so far. The entrances start from each team, and on the babyface side, Seth goes in first, then Sammy, but then just as Jiminy, JJJ, Uso goes to go into the War Games cage, LeBosh. Randy Orton thwacks him in the bollocks using his shin. Randy Orton then thwacks him in the temple with the laces of his boot this time, if we're still allowed to do that kind of conduct in the WWE. I don't know if we are. Did the punch get banned?
I think it got banned, didn't it?
It's Randy, though.
We'll bring it back. We'll bring it back like Timberlake brings sexy back. I don't know what. Oh, dear. Randy then handcuffs an unconscious Jey Uso to the cage at the top of the ramp as Cody is climbing the ropes going like, what are you doing, man? Why, Randy, says Cody. I've written down here, Randy goes, May 20th, 2022, in like, you know, when Bret Hart was doing that sort of stuff. Yeah, but it doesn't quite work, does it? So he makes it clear. He says, May the 20th, 2022, very in the air. So everyone knows what he's on about there, which, of course, was the date of Randy's last match in the WWE when he was beaten by the Usos for the tag team titles alongside a certain Riddler. Randy laughs and walks away, and Cody, as he's on the ropes, is pulled down and nailed with a shoot reckoning from Damian Priest, and he is eliminated. Randy Orton.
Is it elimination?
No, it's not pain, elimination. He loses the match. I didn't write these late last night. Orton is now a heel, which is the way I like my Randy Ortons, and Cody can now stop spinning his wheels and get into a good feud on his way to finishing a story, maybe not the story, but a story after the WrestleMania. So it's a short and sweet one, but a Randy Orton heel turn off the bat, I think, would send everyone cock-a-hoop.
Now, I think Bubba Ray Dudley also thinks that he thinks that Randy should be Cody's final obstacle before he gets another match against Roman Reigns. And I think I agree.
Two great minds of the business there, myself and Bubba Ray.
It's a, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did Joel just sigh behind the camera? I thought, oh, right. I thought I heard like a... I think I agree. It's obviously, it doesn't ruin the match, but it's kind of anticlimactic, but I think it serves a greater purpose later on. So I'm going to give it a yes.
I'm going to give it a yes as well. I've done one. It might be a bit more convoluted, but we'll get there. I'll do that one first. But I like it because, as Jack said, it serves a greater purpose. I would prefer to see him in the match proper and maybe give us a little bit of a tease that he's a good boy now. But then the thing comes. But other than that, no, I really like it. I say he's better as a heel. He's good now as he is, just enjoying himself, which is why everybody sort of like gets on board with him and starts cheering him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I reckon maybe they still would. If he's still being a bit of a dickhead.
We'll know if it's going to happen if he's dressed like an army man.
Yes. Do we get, whilst you were saying that, do we get the baby... Wait, no, that wouldn't work, would it? I was going to say the baby face team can be like Chip Hazards. And then the heel team can be the Gorgonites.
That's unbelievable.
But you switch that around on its head there.
I can't remember the names of any of the Gorgonites. Remember Archer, leader.
Archer.
Emissary of the Gorgonites.
That's about it.
We'll move on.
Yeah.
He's the only one that matters.
Alan.
Alan.
The kid was called Alan.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
The kid was called Alan.
Mm. Alan, stop playing with your toys.
Was it Kirsten Dunst?
It was,
she was in it.
Like the love interest, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She was Mrs. Alan.
Mrs. Alan?
Yeah.
How old were they at that point?
They were teenagers.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Working in a shop.
Right then. Should I go to my first one then?
Yeah, please do.
All right. So we're going to the pre-show of Survivor Series and we get two backstage segments involving the men's War Games teams. First, we get an awkward exchange between Jay and Randy with the main event Uso asking Orton if they're good. Things are different now. And whilst Jay can't change what happened in the past, he can do right by Orton now. Orton clenches his jaw, shakes Jay's hand, but pulls him in. Gives him a kiss. No, he says, yeah, we're good. We're all right. Yeah, dafty. And then goes for a kiss. The second segment sees the Judgment Day in a state of disarray at the announcement of Orton on the babyface side. But Rhea steps in to say this could be good, given the history of Jey Uso and Randall, not to mention the Apex Predator's rocky relationship with pretty much everyone else on the team too. Drew McIntyre, however, isn't too sure, but Priest alludes to the fact that he might have been in contact with Orton. He tweeted, right? When Orton was announced, Priest tweeted and said to Randy Orton and was like, hey, you should pick up your phone, right? He said that on Monday evening. Once a snake, always a snake after all, eh? The segment ends with Balor getting in the face of Priest and simply just saying, you better be right about this because it's all on you, leader. Alluding to the stuff from before.
Oh, right.
When he said he was the leader of the judgment. Not that one.
Yeah, right.
Not that kind of leader. So we get to the War Games match itself. All 10 men are in the ring, but with the majority of them wiped out on the canvas, we get to a moment that sees Orton and Jay standing face to face with Drew and Priest. As both sides walk slowly towards one another, Drew tries to barter with Orton, the bloodline having wronged them both in huge ways. Orton side-eyes a concerned Jey Uso and looks back towards Priest, who is now just grinning ear to ear and nodding his head. Orton swiftly shifts his position and stands directly in front of Jay, stares him dead in the eyes, and hits an RKO. On Drew McIntyre! Whoa!
Yeah. Randy.
Damian, aghast at what just occurred in front of him, looks at Orton, who is licking his chops and laughing in pure delight. He might even be doing that star jump thing that he did, you know, where he touches his tippy toes. Jay can't believe what just went down either. He jumps in and capitalizes, stunning Damian and lifting him up, to hit the 1D slash Cody, but with Orton being the one to dish out the cutter slash RKO, 1-2-3, the babyfaces pick up the win. With Judgment Day sprawled across the mat, the babyfaces celebrate, all holding up one another's arms. Orton holds out his hand proper to Jay, with the Uso accepting. He hugs the Apex Predator, allowing the 14-time world champion to raise his arm in shared victory. until he gets hit with an RKO. My goodness gracious me. And Orton, oh, I'm a slitherous snake. He just slithers out of the ring. Cody and Sammy exit the cage and chase after Orton as Rollins checks on Jay, helping him out of the ring as refs gather on the outside to collect Uso and guide him to the back. But as Rollins himself goes to exit the ring, Rhea Bloody Ripley hops over the barricade with the Money in the Bank briefcase in hand and boots the cage door into the head of Rollins, sending the world champion stumbling back into Judgment Day infested waters. As she screams at Priest to regain some semblance of awareness, Rhea catches the attention of Damian and slides the briefcase towards him before closing the cage door and padlocking it shut. Damian sees that this is the most perfect opportunity and takes it. He clobbers Seth with the briefcase, cashes it in, and with his Judgment Day members surrounding him, Priest sets up for the South of Heaven on a stirring Rollins. He wraps his hand round his throat, but as he does so, Drew connects with a claymore that completely lays out Priest. Now, with JD McDonald, Google Me, Dom and Balor looking on, McIntyre stares daggers through them all as he drags Seth's lifeless body over Damian. 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre costs Priest his Money in the Bank contract as the show goes off the air.
But why?
Because Damian, now I have to think back now, right? Damian was like, I've got this. I spoke to Orton. You know, he alluded to the fact he'd spoken to Orton and things were all worked out. It was all good. Drew was going to be able to get his hands on Jey Uso and everything as well. But that didn't happen. Everything crumbled apart. Damian Sane is the leader of the Judgment Day and everything kind of just falling apart around him. His Judgment Day members don't help him when Drew claymores him in the face. They kind of just like stand there like, we're kind of out on this one, pal.
Right then.
There's a lot of moving parts. It's a clock. Gears.
But I think it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
I like all the different, all the shifting. The status quo has been upended. Whoa! What's going on? And I think that I'm presuming that Priest at some point then becomes a face.
Yeah, because obviously he's still got the tag team championships with Finn. Oh, and aren't they defending them? They're defending them against Street Profits. So I think maybe maybe Finn kind of just like, just cost them the belts, which would be silly, but you
I think that's on the show before Survivor Series, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, bums.
Maybe
pretend it's after.
Maybe Priest needs to find a new tag team partner. That was Bad Bunny's thing.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a yes from me.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll give it a yes as well.
Thank you very much.
Delightful.
My first pitch is Gunther versus Miz for the IC title.
Ooh.
Gunther is dominant from early on, but Miz grabs a roll-up with a handful of tights. The referee doesn't see this, but Gunther kicks out at 2. More of the same, Gunter's in complete control, but Miz then sneaks a pinfall attempt with his feet on the ropes. Again, Gunther kicks out at 2 and barks at the referee to pay attention. Later on, Miz grabs the referee and does the old like back heel low blow so the ref can't see it. Into a roll-up. Again, it's only a near fall. Once Gunther recovers, he's now furious and really lays in some punishing blows on the Miz. He tries to boot his head off, but Miz pulls the referee in the way and he gets cleaned out. Miz grabs Gunther from behind and hits the skull-crushing finale, but there's no ref. He goes to the outside and gets the IC title, comes back in and nails Gunther in the head. He shakes the referee awake, who slowly counts 1, 2. Gunther kicks out at the last second.
God.
Miz is shocked but composes himself. With the referee still recovering on the canvas, he measures Gunther for another shot with the belt, but is met with a big boot as he charges in, knocking the belt into his face. Gunther grabs the title and clocks Miz out of sheer fury, then snatches him up and hits a huge powerbomb. By this point, the ref has wobbled back to his feet with the help of the ropes and turns around to see Gunther making the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. After the match, though, Gunther doesn't stick around to celebrate. He storms to the back, clearly furious. On the next episode of Raw, he explains that he didn't want to win that way. The mat is sacred and this is a real sport, but a pathetic challenger like The Miz pushed him to act out of character. He wants an immediate rematch with The Miz to right these wrongs. They have a match later that night and Miz resumes his cheating ways. This time Gunther is so angry he actually gets himself DQ'd, hitting Miz with a chair in plain view of the referee. The Miz milks this for the next couple of weeks, saying he beat Gunther and therefore should be the rightful IC champion. This gets so under Gunter's skin that he wants another rematch against The Miz. But by this point, all the other people in the IC title picture are getting quite annoyed. Like, you just want more shots again. You want more matches with The Miz? What about us? People like Bronson Reed, Tommaso Ciampa, and maybe even hopefully Chad Gable. All complaining to Pierce for the next few weeks. Finally, Pierce has enough and books a championship scramble match. Gunter, Miz, Reed, Ciampa, and Kaiser and Vinci.
Ooh.
Dissension.
That's the end of the pitch, but I reckon Gunther should still retain. In that match.
Yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
I'm quite excited to see this Gunter and Miz match, you know? Mm-hmm. I think Miz has really been pulling it out of the bag recently. I think he's... I don't want to say stepped up his game, because he's always been good and consistent, but I feel like he's gone that step further this year.
I feel like he's been given the green light to be a bit more showy.
I think Gunter pulled his pants down on Raw. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Mizar.
Oh, where he started bullying him.
A little creep from high school.
But he also slagged off all wrestling fans.
Yes.
Yeah. You got bullied for being a wrestling
he's
fan.
He's a good heel.
Nice one, mate.
Fantastic. It's a yes from me as well.
Thank you.
As long as The Miz doesn't win.
The Miz doesn't win.
Yeah, that's all right then.
Can't do it.
Nah.
Can't happen. Won't happen. Please don't happen.
I don't think it'll happen.
No.
The show kicks off. Michael Cole says, "Welcome to Survivor Series." And immediately, in the midst of the crowd shots they do, while everyone's going, "Wait, look at our signs," Shinsuke Nakamura in his gear, carrying his gear bag in one hand, because he's just walking off the street, a lead pipe in the other for security, is seen walking through the crowd towards the ring. Michael Cole is like, "Wah, wah, wee, wah. Shin doesn't have a match scheduled on this card. What the hell's he doing?" Shin gets in the ring and makes it known that he's not going to go from the ring until he arrives. Who's he? I've got no idea. Shin starts screaming at the Tron, "Come on, come on. I know you're here." He's pacing around. He's going Ackapot, as we soap here in Newcastle upon Tyne, which means he's going radio rental. Raw general manager and Shinsuke Nakamura's boss, Adam Pearce, and his goons appear and try to get Shinsuke Nakamura out of the ring as he's interrupting the show, but they all get battered by the lead pipe and Shins. Apart from Pierce himself, who is now drinking at ringside because that's what he needs. He says it almost every week at this point. Then all of a sudden, returning WWE superstar AJ Styles, "What are you doing here?" He walks out and a big brawl ensues, but a big pull-apart brawl. It was Styles that Nakamura was talking about, was it? Given their past and all that, it makes complete sense, doesn't it? At this point, SmackDown general manager Nick Aldis appears at the top of the ramp and says, "Shinsuke, Alan, calm down. Look in my eyes. What do you see? I see a sea of the WWE Universe. Welcome to Survivor Series. This is the one night of the year where the superstars of affiliated factions in WWE go head to head. Oh, and Shinsuke, the bloke you've been talking about is here, and I can reveal I've signed him to SmackDown, but he's agreed to some interpromotional warfare right now. The following contest is one fall." He drops his microphone, does Nick Aldis. Nakamura is seen salivating inside the ring. Styles, by this point, has been escorted to the back. He's not the guy Shinsuke's been talking about. One by one, the members of Killswitch Engage walk out, but I don't even know what they look like, and I assume enough of the watching people inside the arena don't know what they look like either. Therefore, they'll be as confused as everyone else watching around the world, unless you are a big fan of Killswitch Engage.
I'd recognise Howard.
Howard. And the guitarist as well.
He's a bit Andrew Hodkinson.
Yeah, I think he is a little bit.
Well, they're not going to be in the arena, so it's still well. With the bat in position, they start playing a shoot performance of This Fire Burns.
Oh, wow.
And I can't work out what to do. I'm going to give you two different options, because I'm a cop out. I'm a dirty slag. Either CM Punk walks out and he's back in the WWE and it's all going to be fantastic, his match against Nakamura. I guess if you go back 10 years, that would have been the dream match of wrestling, wouldn't it, back then?
Oh, it would have been tasty.
Or, and this is the part where you like to see the world burn, Grayson Waller walks out. I couldn't work out which one, but I want to appease the comments.
It would transform, it would elevate his stock massively. Yeah. Everyone would hate him. I think I'm all right with either.
Yeah, do you know what? I actually kind of...
Maybe they both walk out hand in hand.
The Grayson one would be so good because it'd get everybody so mad.
I think it's a yes either way.
Go on then.
Yeah, it's a yes for me either.
Thank you.
Either way as well. That's very, very good. I enjoyed that a lot.
You've got two yeses.
Yes, boys. Right, I'm doing mine now.
Is this the big bad booty daddy of the pitch?
This was
video?
The first one that I'd written, but I thought my second one was better, but I don't know. It's similar in tone.
Okay.
So we're heading over to this coming Friday's SmackDown, where LA Knight is looking to continue his extermination of the Bloodline. And that is precisely what we get as a match between LA Knight and the Bloodline's enforcer Solo Sikoa is set for the evening. However, before said match takes place, backstage Nick Aldis pulls LA Knight aside to let the megastar know that, granted, what happened last week following Knight's win against Jimmy was out of line, Cody's involvement was not authorized. Therefore, Knight better either have one of two things, eyes in the back of his head or allies on the SmackDown roster, because Cody, along with anyone else from Raw, are banned from entering the arena tonight. Get yourselves gone. Knight goes on to have his match against Solo, and thanks to interference from Jimmy, Solo picks up the win with a Samoan spike. Post-match, the 2-on-1 beatdown ensues once again, with Solo directing traffic as he tells Jimmy to hold Knight in.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Place, signaling for the spike. Ready to put Knight away, as he had done with Cena at Crown Jewel, Solo raises the thumb, and with the camera angle tightly packed in closely on the faces of the three men in the ring, ready to capture Knight's demise, Solo, he does that scream, ah! until, boom!
Excuse me.
It's all right, you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Just
the water.
Until, boom, a steel chair connects with the spine of Jimmy Uso. Solo lets go of the grasp of Knight as he quickly exits the ring and up the rampway with Paul Heyman. The phenomenal AJ Styles doth return to the blue brand. Mm. And as he stares daggers towards the retreating Bloodline members, LA Knight returns to his feet, extends his hand out to Styles, and expresses gratitude towards the phenomenal one coming to his aid. AJ looks Knight up and down, and after a moment of hesitation, he shakes the megastar's hand before exiting the ring. Later in the evening, hoping to secure himself a rematch against Sokoa for next week, Knight enters Aldis's office. Before Knight can say a word, though, Nick cuts him off and says he's already spoken to Styles about the proposition, and it's already been approved. Confused, Knight asks Nick what he's on about. Well, since you found yourself an ally in AJ Styles, and you're both justifiably vying for revenge, Styles had an idea. The megastar LA Knight and the phenomenal AJ Styles versus the Bloodline Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso tomorrow night at Survivor Series. The segment ends as Nick... leaving Nick's office before the Knight bumps into the OC, who asked the megastar if he knows where Styles is, as they've been looking everywhere for him. Styles didn't even tell his busy mates he was returning. He's a chin scratcher, I tell me. So we cut to Survivor Series and the tag match itself. We finally got there, everybody. The synergy between Knight and Styles, oh, it's magical, I've said. As all their frustrations and goals have funneled towards beating the Bloodline, they've all aligned, it's ready to go. In fact, they're dominant in the beginning, utilizing quick tags and performing double team maneuvers. We are lapping it up, my friends. The tide turns, however, when after connecting with a Styles clash on Sokoa and attempting to secure the pinfall, Jimmy quickly tries to break it up with Knight following suit to ward him off. A super kick to Knight, though, sends the megastar tumbling on top of Styles and Sokoa, inadvertently breaking up the pin as Knight falls to the outside, allowing Sokoa and Jimmy to put the prolonged beatdown on AJ Styles. But Styles rallies a spirited comeback. He fights off both men, and after stirring to his feet and getting back into position, LA Knight is waiting on the apron, arm outstretched, and waiting for the hot tag from AJ. Jimmy tags in Solo, and AJ just manages to hit the fingertips of Knight as the crowd in the Allstate Arena go wild. Woo! Knight also fights off both men. He tosses Jimmy to the outside. He hits Solo with a scoop slam and gets ready for that elbow. L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
He bounces off the ropes and darts towards Sokoa before he's stricken by a phenomenal forearm out of nowhere. You bloody what? Are you mental? Styles stands there for a moment, stoic, looking down at Knight strewn across the canvas. Jimmy on the outside can't believe what he's seeing. Neither can Solo or Paul Heyman. AJ stares at Solo, the enforcer gathering himself in the corner as Styles slowly exits the ring and walks up the ramp. Solo lifts a lifeless Knight to his feet and hits the spike. 1, 2, 3. After the match, the beatdown continues. Styles standing atop the ramp, watching on with a smile on his face as Solo and Jimmy tear into the megastar, placing him on the announcement desk and splashing him straight through it. Whoa.
Oh, I do like it.
Yeah?
LA Knight goes to AJ Styles and then beats Logan Paul at WrestleMania.
Yes.
It all writes itself.
Oh, yes, baby.
I think I like it as well.
Yeah?
I think it's a yes from me because I think I prefer heel AJ.
Yeah, me too. And I guess...
Now, he can do both, but...
Yeah. My reasoning was like... Or my thinking was at least, you know, where LA Knight is now, and understandably it was over before this whole thing anyway, but him obviously being put into the position that AJ Styles should have been in originally. AJ Styles is just a little bit jelly of everything.
That's a yes from me
so,
as well.
Thank you.
My second pitch is also Bloodline related.
Oh.
Roman Reigns isn't going to be at Survivor Series, as we know, which is a travesty, let me tell you. He's on the go-home show, SmackDown, this week, just to basically laugh at the fans who wanted to see him wrestle this weekend. But he gets interrupted by L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Who says, it's good to... I've tried to write an L.A. Knight promo, and I just can't. Who says, it's good to see you, you big coward. Is that what he says?
Like, you big dummy?
Dummy, yeah. Yeah, they... Probably says some cooler stuff than that as well. I don't know. He says, everybody knows he deserved to win at Crown Jewel and he should be the rightful undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Roman is doing that squinty look he does. You know, like his...
Yeah. You dafty.
Knight says, if you're so confident, why not give me a rematch tomorrow night at Survivor Series War Games? Roman laughs. LA Knight charges the ring, but he gets beaten down by Roman, Solo, and Jimmy. Solo Samoan spikes Knight and lays him on the announce table. It's very similar to...
It is very similar.
Jimmy goes up top. Before he can jump, Nick Aldis rushes out and says, hey, don't you do it, because as it so happens, I agree with LA Knight. What kind of champion doesn't defend his title at a major show like Survivor Series? So we're going to have a number one contenders match tonight with, before he can even say it, Roman gives Jimmy the signal and he splashes Knight through the announce table. Aldis is furious. Roman gets on the mic, barely even acknowledging Nick Aldis, and says, LA Knight thinks he should be the rightful champion. Well, here's a history lesson. The story of this business is full of people who should have been champion, who should have gotten another shot, but they fell short because of champions like me. Aldis says, well, this Saturday at Survivor Series, maybe I should call in a favor from somebody that I know quite well. And maybe they're one of the people who should have gotten another chance to be champion in the past. Roman's confused. Aldis also says, by the way, you are contractually now obliged to be in the building tomorrow night, and guess what? Jimmy, Solo, and Heyman are all banned. Roman tries to shrug it off, but we see he's a little bit concerned. Mm-hmm. I think maybe LA Knight's hurt by the splash as well, so it's not going to be LA Knight. At Survivor Series, Roman comes down to the ring alone. He cuts a promo wondering who his challenger could be. Who does he know that almost became champion but never quite managed it? Sami Zayn? Oh no, he's in a match tonight. Cody Rhodes? He's in the same match. Maybe someone from before he was the champion. And he starts getting silly now. He says, Shelton Benjamin, Mr. Kennedy, Ricky Steamboat, Roddy Piper, Ivan Koloff, Blackjack Mulligan. At this point, I don't know if Blackjack Mulligan people think he should have been champion. Ivan Koloff? At this point, the crowd starts to get excited because we can't see watching from home, but someone's clearly gotten in the ring, but the camera hasn't panned across. You know, when everyone's like, whoa!
Yeah.
Who is it? We don't know. But that person raises a mic and says... I need to turn the page. And says, I'm afraid I've got some bad... Boom! Big ball hammer to the back of Roman's head. It's bloody Wade Barrett from commentary.
Oh,
not Coventry, from commentary. He takes off his suit. He's all ready to go. He's got the elbow pads on and everything. Roman ultimately does win, but I just thought it'd be a nice moment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if him and Nick Aldis actually are friends, but they're both English.
Yeah,
they probably, so all probably encountered each other.
Friends.
They probably came up together.
They were in the NWA, weren't they, together?
Yeah.
More recently?
That'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a yes from me.
Yes.
Oh, it's a yes
oh,
from
really?
Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, genuinely. Yeah.
Horny Wade would not be able to keep his boner in his little
No.
He takes off his big cloak.
I like it. That was really good.
That went down better than I thought.
It subverted expectations.
But he's still in shape as well. Like you follow him on the gram and he's still pumping all the iron eye.
Ooh.
I watch Preston North End on a Saturday while lifting weights. That's basically what his Instagram is.
Fair enough. Seems like a good life. Right.
Oh, dear.
Ross, your last pitch.
I've gone three serious this time, everybody, so this is a serious pitch. The Miz walks down the ring for his Intercontinental Championship match with Gunther. Gunther then begins his entrance, but because Gunther is a really boring professional wrestler compared to this sports entertainer juggernaut we call The Miz, Miz literally lays down on the mat and pretends to fall asleep because he's a babyface now, and wouldn't that be funny? Seeing this, Gunther sprints towards the ring, coat still on, and delivers a shoot baseball slide drop kick right into Miz's sleepy face. He also pummels the wholesome baby face for good measure. The referee and other assorted personnel at ringside break up the pair as Samantha Irvin gets ready to deliver her ring introductions. Then, after that, the match starts. Shoot running drop kick from Gunther, powerbomb, splash, pinfall attempt, 1-2, buckle my shoe, Gunther drags the Miz's arm up before the three count.
Hello.
Before the three count, Gunther then starts doing press-ups and Hindu squats around the Miz because remember, he's a boring one-note professional wrestler and the Miz is a sports entertainer. Gunther wrestles rings around the Miz and ultimately ends up winning with aplomb. Because while The Miz is fantastic, I don't want to see him wrestling on the same level as Gunther because that's just not what he is. Mm. There's levels to this game, and I think Gunther is at a higher level of the wrestlings, even though Miz is fantastic. You know what I'm trying to say, though. Following the match, Gunther gets in the mic and starts cutting a scathing promo on The Miz and his abilities in the squared circle because he is a heel. And because we're in Chicago and everyone from there was really cool and edgy, the crowd start laughing along with everything that Gunther is saying because it's really cool and funny. I need more competition, says Gunther. Brock Lesnar's music hits. Out comes the beast. He heads down to the ring. Oh. Brock says, hiya, I'm competition. So much competition. I'm going to propose that we have a non-title match at the Royal Rumble so you can get a little bit of practice in. Then I'll come and take that Intercontinental title off you at WrestleMania. Gunther says, yes, thank you. And he walks off. End of pitch.
Ooh, what was the point of the, what's the non-title match about then?
Just because he's like competition, get the reps in.
Bit of a taster.
Shoot fighting, yeah. Mm. Sparring, but it's a wrestling match. It doesn't quite convert.
No, I get it. It's another yes from me. Yes. It's all yeses so far.
Sure ending is. My pitcher's career on a high.
No, stop it. Stop it. I like that a lot.
Cheers.
And I would want to see more than just two matches. One match between the two.
That's
as well.
What I was thinking as well. Because
maybe even if Brock wins the non-title match, if Gunther then beats him, it makes it even more like
That's it. Tasty treats. That was delightful. It's like a Neapolitan ice cream. Is that what it's called?
Well, that's three
things. Yeah, yeah. That's like a Neapolitan. Bloody good. Yeah. Right, I'm going for my final one. It's very simple.
It's a Nick Bockwinkle glory.
Glory. Right.
This is what we should do when this place folds. Just open a wrestling themed ice
cream
parlor.
Is it a Roman raisin?
Oh, that's a good one as well.
Thank you. Cheers.
Oh, I can't
sexual think. Chocolate.
Yes. It's a battle royale that I've proposed.
Wait, have you stolen my thing?
It's not as fun as Jack's wacky ones, unfortunately. So I apologize in advance, right? But I would like to propose a battle royale between NXT, SmackDown, and Raw superstars for a mid-card title shot. Not only to obviously give stakes to the fact that we're having a battle royal, but also to advance a few storylines at the same time as well. And for a few examples here, I've got Butch and Ridge the Fridge had a bit of a miscommunication recently, though it could continue in this match. Perhaps we even see a slight reformation of British Strong Style, again with Tyler Bate in the mix on the NXT side of things, just to push the divide a little bit further maybe between the two, tease what could be coming in the future. Chad Gable and Shinsuke Nakamura could also prolong their tete-a-tete, with Gable eliminating Shinsuke from the match, mainly because I actually really enjoyed the match this week on Raw, and I would like more, thank you.
Yeah.
You could have DIY in there, get Vinci and Kaiser involved on the outside to scupper their chances, etc., etc. But ultimately, in the end, I'd like it to come down to three people. Gable from Raw, Trick Willie from NXT, and Dragon Lee from SmackDown, ooh, with Dragon Lee getting the shot at challenging Logan Paul for the United States Championship.
There was another name there that I would rather have seen.
Oh, who would you have rather seen?
Trick Willie.
Whoop.
Whoop that Trick.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, well, Trick can do it anyway.
It was going so well until Dragon Lee.
Sugar lumps.
I want it.
When I'm
seeing Logan Paul defend that title, I want to be fully with the babyface, and I'm not fully with Dragon
Lee.
Oh,
what? I was thinking.
Just personal preference.
I was thinking it'd be like the thing, like a really valiant effort from Dragon Lee before he is recruited into Rear side of the LWO kind of thing.
I don't care about the LWO.
Oh my God.
The Logan World Order.
There you go.
Andrew, take this L. It's a no from her. Sorry.
If it was Trick Willie, then we're giving it a yes.
You were so close.
I was so close. Trick Willie does it without a battle royale, though.
You've ruined this whole video because we're on all yeses and then, oh, Jesus.
Oh my God, what's happened?
The water bottle's gone flying.
I knocked my water bottle over. It's fine. There's no water coming
out. It's only pictures.
My last pitch is, so on SmackDown, there's yet another skirmish involving the two men's War Games teams. Not just Cody getting involved this time, but Jay, Sammy, and Seth as well. Maybe not Orton, maybe we save him for the pay-per-view. Anyway, all this is furious backstage and tells the babyface team to get off his show. Adam Pearce shows up, and he's at it by this stage, simply saying, or what?
Whoa, it's okay. I'll move these out of the way.
They have an argument back and forth, eventually leading to a challenge being thrown out by Aldis for a traditional Raw versus SmackDown 5-on-5, Survivor Series match. Pierce says, fine, 5-on-5 or 4-on-4? Aldis says, 5-on-5. Pierce says, fine, I'll make some calls and I'll get five superstars together. Aldis says, oh, you'll only need four. Pierce is confused. Aldis says, you'll only need to find four superstars, and I'll only need to find four, because two of the competitors are going to be Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce, unless you're scared. And Adam Pearce is like, right then. Showtime, Pearce comes out with his team. All he's been able to find are Woods, Kingston, Gable, and Otis, because he's been involved in their segments recently, mm-hmm, over the past few weeks. They're all incredibly excited to be teaming with their boss. You can just imagine them all dancing away.
Yeah.
Maybe Tozawa's at ringside doing his... ooh, don't do it to them, Akira. Pierce looks less than thrilled. Aldis comes out and announces his team one by one, saying he might have called in a few favors and made a few last-minute deals. Bobby Lashley, Omos, Brock Lesnar, and Hiroki.
Jesus Christ.
And Hiroki Sumi from the...
what?
You remember Hiroki Sumi?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah.
Everyone's favorite wrestler.
We leave him until after the Lesnar pop, then we get the Hiroki Sumi pop.
Yeah, Hiroki Sumi.
They have the match, and Aldis' team are obviously on top, but the babyface team have put in a resilient, if exhausting, performance. It's 3-on-2. Aldis, Lesnar, and Lashley. I don't know how Omos or Hiroki Sumi got eliminated, but they did.
Yeah.
Aldis, Lesnar, and Lashley versus Kofi Kingston and Adam Pearce. Kofi does that thing from the old Survivor Series where he rolls up Lashley for three, catches an onrushing Lesnar with the Trouble in Paradise for a shock double elimination. Because Lesnar squashed him and he never got his revenge. And
no, that would be nice.
Lesnar's furious, drags Kofi to the outside, total like Undertaker on Maven when he, in fact, he F5s him through the announce table, and Kofi is unfortunately counted out of the match as Lesnar storms to the back. Officials fleeing in his wake, I've said. Aldis is annoyed, but still looks confident as he realizes this match is one-on-one, himself versus Adam Pearce. Pearce absolutely destroys Nick Aldis, ties him in knots, massive lariats, really vicious stuff. Aldis is bleeding, ring post stuff, apron spot. Adam Pearce wins the match and finally gets out all that stress that's been building up for the past few weeks.
Come on, Scrap Daddy.
Yeah, I watched an old Adam Pearce match to remember what some of his moves were because I wasn't too familiar. But I think he was wrestling a little bit cowardly in the match I watched.
Oh, really?
But he did a few lariats and they were good, so I think he'll throw a few lariats. The match I watched was him versus Eli Dre.
Oh, wow.
Paul Bearer was managing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I saw it recently. I never knew that was a thing.
LA Knight was clean shaven. It looked weird. And at one point, Bearer gets hit off the apron, but like he doesn't go for the bump. He like kind of falls and then onto the apron, sits down on it, falls to the floor, and lands on his feet. And it's just like. But that was my pitch anyway.
Oh, I like it.
Okay. It's, it was a silly one.
Isn't it?
Silly,
I like it.
I don't think it is silly. I think people like Piers. And...
But it's silly that you can get Lesnar and Omos and Hiroki Sumi. Yeah. And
the Kofi bit's the silly bit.
Oh, wow.
A double elimination.
Yeah.
Puffed.
Fair enough. Who did you on? Was it Punk and Orton? I think Punk was the first one, and then Orton was the...
I can't remember, to be honest.
Do you remember it, though? So Kofi's like the last one on his team, and there's two heels against him. I think he rolls up Punk for three, but it's like long hair. It's like before.
Okay.
And then Orton comes in and just immediately gets hit with the Trouble in Paradise, and Kofi wins. And
that's
then
cool.
I think it was in the midst maybe of the Orton, the stupid feud.
Maybe. Oh.
Don't know.
Oh.
Maybe. Maybe it was before then. Do you remember it, Joel? No, I really don't. Have I made it up?
Oh. Oh, it's a dream.
It was a long time ago.
It's a dream. Oh,
yeah, I want to say like 2009.
Nine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm not
going to
Google
it.
People will know if it's, yeah. Anyway, those were 9 pitches for Survivor Series War Games. We have a full schedule for all of you. Are you doing your predictions and reactions?
Yes, predictions will be out on the channel on Thursday, and then we will have the live reactions, myself and Adam Pacitti, over at youtube.com/cultaholic/live on Saturday night.
Wonderful. Ross, you doing WTF moment?
Yes, I'll be live on Sunday daytime after what happened at, and probably a news video has gone live as well from the fallout from the show.
What happened after the show? All the stuff's going on. So do enjoy. Please leave your pitches as well and your opinions on our pitches in the comments section down below. I've been Jack. This has been Ross. This has been Andrew, and we'll see you there. Oh, and life's a pitch,
and then you die.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.